Sound the trump in Zion. Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across. Across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders. Hey there, Patriots. I hope you are having a great day. We're doing something a little bit different today. I have been doing this research about our history in America, and it really has connected so many dots. And so I've got to share it with you. I think it'll really help you to connect the dots too. I think you'll really enjoy it. So it is by this group called LaRouche. LaRouche something. I'm sorry. LaRouche Pack. Unfortunately, it appears that the founder has died. You know, he was older and he passed on. And so I don't think that group is actually functioning anymore. I found this through Promethean updates. And so they were trying to get this information out to people. And so I wanted to help to share this. Okay. So basically this is the deal that we're fighting 1776 over again. We are still fighting this Revolutionary War to stop the King George, the royals, the British are coming. This is what we're still fighting, and it has not changed that much. And different ones in our history have either worked with them or have not worked with them, have been trying to set us free from them, and they
had a very difficult time, and that's really what the history is. Really, that's what's behind Lincoln, what's behind McKinley, behind, you know, JFK, and now our wonderful president. But something is very different that's going on right now, that right now, this is the moment in time, finally, when we will be free from them. Okay, this goes all the way back to, you know, the Rome time. But the current beast, so to speak, is this British Empire. And so this video really goes into a great detail on it that I had not connected some of these dots before, and so I bet you haven't either. I think this is a great, I think I'd shared the link to it, but I wanted to make sure that you guys, you know, we talk through it as we go and say, you know, I think it'll be more helpful if we do it this way. That's what I'm thinking. I hope you guys like it. Don't forget to always like, share, and subscribe what we're doing, because this is, we're really, you know, not wanting to do cat videos. As much as I love cat videos, we want to see if we can be helpful in this battle to save the Republic and to really save it once and for all. For those of you who don't know me, go and check out my site, melissaredpill.com. That is my website right there, melissaredpill.com. I have over 1,000 videos. We've been in this fight for a very long time, since 2017, but then we started doing videos in 2018, specifically talking about how this is literally biblical. And so that's my piece, and you can find out more information about that. But that's not what this video is about today, but definitely check out my website, melissaredpill.com, and you will love it. Okay, so here is the video, like I said, and I'll play a little bit of it, and then we'll talk about it as we go. But the first part talks about how Lincoln was trying to defeat the British Empire. One other quick thing before we start. On my website, I have a series about the lost tribes of Israel, and I talk about how God's people were kicked out of the land. They were dispersed and scattered all over the world, eventually being over in the British Isles, and they reestablish the kingdom there. And if you've ever heard of me talk about Tia Teffy, this really started in the British Isles, but they, unfortunately, these criminals hijacked the crown. They are usurpers, okay? And so that's why our forefathers who came to America fled these people, because they were absolutely ruthless and demonic, and just, we're like, we've got to get away from these people. And so we came over here and said, we'll have our own country, and you stay there, and we'll stay here. And of course, they couldn't be happy doing that. What they didn't anticipate, and maybe they did, they just tried everything they could to fight it, was that God was going to bless our country to become so strong and so resilient and so powerful that we would overtake them in power. Even though they still hoarded all this money, the Lord just has given us a blessing, the blessing of America. If you're not familiar, over back behind me is this Omer bundle. It's the blessing bundle. Remember, Joseph and his brothers bowed down to his bundle of grain. We are the Omer bundle of grain, the double portion. When God has blessed America, that's where we got our name, was from the Omer, America. And so this is, you know, this is our destiny, and they've tried to pretend like it wasn't, but it is, and there's no changing it. There's nothing that can stop what is coming. All right, so we'll start here, and we'll just go step by step, and I hope you really enjoy this. I hope it really helps you like it has helped me. So let's go.
Lincoln knew the British Empire viewed the U.S. government, founded on the principle that all men are created equal, as a threat to the continuation of their empire. Lincoln also knew that the British Empire had not only steered the development of the present secession, but had organized continuous secession movements to break up the Union since the American Revolution. Alexander Hamilton, the first Treasury Secretary and founder of the American system of economics, was assassinated in 1804 by Aaron Burr, the Vice President of the United States.
At the same, all right, it's already started. It's it started with a bang. Okay, so he basically was saying that Lincoln knew that who he was fighting was this British Empire. And so they infiltrate, but he was always able to identify that, yeah, this is who's behind what's going on with the Civil War is really the British, because they're trying to take back our country, take back control of our country. And so then I didn't realize this. I didn't connect the dots that Aaron Burr had actually shot Alexander Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton was trying to make sure that our money system didn't get hijacked by the British, because if they can control the currency, then they control everything, basically. And so he had set up this great financial system, and then this Burr was, I think he was vice president. He ended up, they had a duel, and he ended up killing him. Of course, that tells you really, you know, who does that? And so it's, you know, that really was very detrimental to our country and really made it a very, you know, much more difficult for us to maintain control of our financial system. All right. So actually I had turned up the speed and I think it's just a little bit too quick. So let me change that a little bit, because I like to listen to things fast, but that maybe is a little too fast. Let's try it this way. All right.
Same time, Burr organized a military insurrection against the government to create a separate nation composed of the vast Louisiana Territory and part of Mexico. The design, funding, and brashness of Burr's operation were not his own.
I have just received an offer from Mr. Burr, the actual Vice President of the United States, to lend his assistance to His Majesty's government in any matter in which they may think fit to employ him, particularly in endeavoring to effect a separation of the western part of the United States from that which lies between the Atlantic and the mountains, in its whole extent.
The British government...
Okay, so within the very top echelon of the power in our government, they were literally trying to cede that power over to the British government, and this whole giant swath, as you saw on that map, they were trying to say, just basically separate our country, divide and conquer. And so whether it was the North and the South or this whole area over to the West, and miraculously that never has been able to, you know, allowed to occur. Thank God. Okay. So I wanted you to see, this is this Burr guy, which is horrible. Okay. So hopefully that helps.
Government which deployed Burr burned the capital to the ground 8 years later in the War of 1812, and organized a secession movement of the New England states, a system driven by the British East India Company and its secret intelligence service director, Lord Shelburne.
Okay. All right, let me back up. I got to show you this too, because I don't want you to miss some of these things. This is this picture right here. Okay, let me see if I can get back to it. It's so little. Okay, let's see if I can do it this way. This right here is Tia Tefi that I was just telling you about. And so she is actually sitting on this, well, I think she's actually sitting on the Stone of Destiny. That's a whole other thing. That is actually the stone that the Israelites carried throughout the 40 years in the desert. And that is the number one most prized possession of the British Empire. Now they've since President Trump took office, they've actually given it back to Scotland, who is the rightful owner. I actually got to see it, or at least a replica of it, because I don't know that that's the real one. But either way, this is their most prized, has been their most prized possession. And so she's also has this crest right here, which is what we've always thought of as the British flag. But actually, it goes back to, this was the flag of Moses. How about that? So anyway, check out more of that on my channel, on my videos called The Lost Tribes of Israel, and you'll find out more about that. But Tia Tefi was truly in the line of Judah, and that she came over with the prophet Jeremiah and was coronated on sitting on this stone. This is the coronation stone, the Stone of Destiny, same stone that Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, slept on, and he saw, you know, heaven open, right? Remember this? Amazing. Anyway, so they brought the stone over. She was coronated along with Harriman, who was from the Zara line of Judah. And so the two sticks rejoined, and they started the royals there. But again, it was hijacked by these usurpers. Okay, so they hijacked the flag. They hijacked the stone. They took it all, right? All right, so you see this cornucopia here is just this, and you see it's two of them, the blessing bundle. And you see this is, you know, you see the Omer. It's very much the picture of this blessing bundle that I always talk about. All right. Now you see they burned down the White House in 1812. Did you learn this in school? I'm sure you didn't, and I didn't either, that this whole thing about 1812 was that they were trying to burn down our ability to have self-government and to not be under their rule. That's what it's been about, whether it was in 1776 or 1812 or, you know, moving on. We're going to get to McKinley in a second. But all right, I hope this commentary is helpful.
East India Company and its Secret Intelligence Service Director, Lord Shelburne. As the United States defeated these various attacks, Shelburne's successor and protege, Lord Palmerston, turned to the British slave system in the southern U.S. as the new axe to chop apart the United States. The slavery system, destroying the southern United States, was a critical part of a worldwide British economic system to which Adam Smith gave the name Free Trade. Beginning in West Africa, the British East India Company, Royal Africa Company, and others captured slaves. These slaves were shipped to the Western Hemisphere to create the slave plantation system of the southern United States. The principal product of this system in the 19th century was cotton, 75% of which was exported to England. Here, English peasants worked for shillings to turn the cotton into low-quality textiles, which were then sold in India, the crown jewel of the empire. The Indian subjects, denied the right by the British to produce for themselves, paid for the textiles with opium crops. The Indian opium was then shipped from India to China, where it was forced on the Chinese people for enormous profit, addicting millions to the life-sucking drug. The profits from this cycle, characterized by East India Company lackey Adam Smith as buying cheap and selling dear, was the foundation of the empire's existence. An interruption of any one part was an interruption to the whole.
Okay, so that is gigantically important, and that's why I'm stopping one more time. They call it, did you catch that? They call it free trade. So whenever you hear the term free trade, it sounds like a great term, right? It sounds like, yes, we want everyone to have freedom to trade and however they please. That's not what it is. Their idea of free trade is where they keep everyone as their subject, their colony, and they keep everyone where they can't produce anything of their own. Where they only do the slave labor, and then they sell all the produce from, you know, for pennies on the dollar, and then the crown, the imperials, the globalists take it and they make all the money. So it's basically the way to keep everyone under their slave system, and this is what Lincoln was trying to do, is to first of all, keep our country together, to keep them from dividing us and causing all this conflict, and also to make sure that we had the freedom to have true fair trade. I'll call it fair trade because they've used the word free trade, and I want to make sure we keep it separate. But he wanted to make sure it was fair trade, where people would be able to, we'd be able to trade with other countries and actually gain wealth for the people in our country. You know, and that's why you wonder, well, how is it that people all over the world, you know, they work hard, but they just can't ever, you know, achieve anything? Well, that's the American dream, that we've been able to cut out from under their boot for a little while at a time. But so many of these other countries have been colonies, have been under this imperial stranglehold, and they have not been able to get out from under it. Okay. I hope that's helpful. All right. So you saw how the ships were, and they brought the slaves to America, not only as far as slave labor, because they wanted everyone here to be working on slave labor. They wanted that so they could use that to cause division in our country and use that as a way to start the Civil War. And really, you know, that's their whole game, is how do they divide and conquer? How do they keep everyone down? And so they've been doing it for a long, long time, so they're pretty good at it. And so finally, you know, we've had some great people like Lincoln, and like I said, we're going to get to McKinley and JFK, and then President Trump, and Roosevelt, who were really working hard and smart enough to get out from under it. Now is the day when we're finally going to be breaking free. All right, here we go.
In dealing with vulgar-minded bullies, and such unfortunately the people of the United States are, nothing is gained by submission to insult and wrong. The U.S. have no navy of which we need to be afraid, and they might be told that if they were to resort to privateering, we should, however reluctantly, be obliged to retaliate by burning all their seacoast towns.
Palmerston.
Okay, so that gets down to where you realize, okay, that that explains what they were doing with, you know, all these, you know, Fort Sumter and all that, where we were trying to protect our seacoast, our ability to trade with other countries. And they, so that's why they wanted to come in and destroy our ability to do that. Okay. Because you're thinking, why are we, what is this civil war? Why is this happening? You know, and so what are the, what's the, you know, we know about the proxy wars. We know how they're pulling the strings on both sides and fomenting it and financing both sides. But why are they destroying? Well, it's because they're trying to destroy our ability to do this trade freely, you know, fairly, that would benefit us. They want all the benefit. And you see how he says this, what he's, Lord Sharm, whatever his name is, he's sitting here saying, you know, how the Americans are bullies. We're bullies. Do you see how they do? They call us the bullies. That's them. They're the bullies. They're the ones who are trying to take everything and they won't let us have any toys. They're the bully. All right.
And never gave up the hope that the United States could be broken apart, that you could destroy the American system. And so Lord Palmerston was naturally a supporter of the Confederacy. In fact, he wrote a letter January 1st, 1861, to Queen Victoria, praising the British and French troops taking of Peking at that time. And then he said, we also are on the verge of the dissolution of the United States. And this was good news for Britain.
When Lincoln was elected in November 1860, the British had recently conducted war against Russia in 1854 and against China in 1859, when the Chinese attempted to block the smuggling of opium into their ports. Now, in 1861, a great war was imminent, pivoted on whether the British or the American system would prevail in the Western Hemisphere.
Lincoln knew that he was going into a war. The key of Lincoln, the character of Lincoln, going into the inauguration and through his presidency, was he was on the front lines of a war against the British Empire. And he knew it. He was being shot at. Eventually, obviously, he was assassinated. But there were many attempts against him, as if he was a soldier in the battles. But it was his ideas, it was his mind, which drove the victory over the South. That was why he was the number one target.
In Lincoln, because of the nature of the conflict over slavery, he very much always came back to the Declaration of Independence. That this, for I think any of the great figures in the United States, the Declaration and the Constitution are one piece. So Lincoln rested on all men are created equal, and have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That these are inalienable rights. And they are embedded in every individual human being, that there is no difference.
On his trip to Washington for the inauguration, Lincoln was notified of an assassination plot laid for him at a scheduled stop in Baltimore, Maryland.
Now, when he passed through Philadelphia, after having been informed of this plot, he stood right here on this spot and participated in a flag-raising ceremony on the morning of February 22nd, 1861.
I have never had a feeling politically that did not spring from the sentiments embodied in the Declaration of Independence. I have often pondered over the dangers which were incurred by the men who assembled here and adopted that Declaration of Independence. I have pondered over the toils that were endured by the officers and soldiers of the army who achieved that independence. I have often inquired of myself what great principle or idea it was that kept this Confederacy so long together. It was not the mere matter of the separation of the colonies from the motherland, but something in that declaration giving liberty not alone to the people of this country, but hope to the world for all future time. It was that which gave promise that in due time the weight should be lifted from the shoulders of all men and that all should have an equal chance. This is the sentiment embodied in that Declaration of Independence. Now, my friends, can this country be saved upon that basis? If it can, I will consider myself one of the happiest men in the world if I can help to save it. If it can't be saved upon that principle, it will truly be awful. But if this country cannot be saved without giving up that principle, I was about to say, I would rather be assassinated on this spot than to surrender it.
Lincoln.
We are so blessed to have had these amazing patriots like Lincoln And now, of course, like our wonderful president, who's willing to go stand out there and know that he could be he'd be shot at. Hello? It wasn't just that one time. And we know he was. They've attempted to assassinate him multiple times. And the miraculous thing is, I mean, I really do believe he's bulletproof. This is destiny. They just can't. Obviously, they can't. They've tried many times. The 17 board says so. So the thing I wanted to bring up is that an amazing passage, and I've talked about this on my channel, where if you look at the eagle from Daniel's vision, there was I think it's in Daniel chapter 2, it's maybe Daniel chapter 7. Anyway, it was where there were four creatures, one of which was a lion, and it had eagle's wings. And so, of course, that would be the British Empire that has been running roughshod all over the world. And so this eagle's wings, the wings, it says, were plucked off and made to stand on the land. Made to stand on the land. I think that's what it says, as a man. All right, so what is this talking about? It's a picture of us coming out of this British Empire and getting free from them. And standing on the land, that's a picture of us being free, free, sovereign men and women made in the image of God, and not a serf, not a slave. And if you remember, I've talked about this many times, you know, when Adam and Eve fell, you know, we basically fell into this other kingdom of darkness, and that where we were under their power. And then, of course, our Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, he set us free so we can be translated from that evil kingdom into his kingdom. And so when you know, that's the picture of what is happening for humanity, is that we're all moving into his kingdom. We don't want to be part of that evil kingdom. And so when you look at the symbolism that was told to Daniel in this beautiful prophecy, is that these eagle wings would stand on the land. I believe that is a picture of us in America, we as the eagle, that we would stand on the land as a free man. And not only that, but as Lincoln will say in a second, that this is the destiny for us to not only save America, but the entire world. And so that's where he was saying, I'm happy to do that, only to save this country, if it can be saved, with that being the basis, that we are free men and women made in God's image. And that is what has been the glue that has held us together, is that we are the one country in the world that has that that basis in our Constitution, that all men are created equal. And so he stood on that and didn't budge off of that, no matter what they tried to do to him. All right, so that's that. Let's see what this man has to say too.
Is very specifically an example of a fully conscious figure of history, that he is acting as a figure of history. His motive is that. His immediate predecessor, there are many predecessors for Lincoln's thought, and in a case like his, there are always things that you may overlook, which are important. But the key thing is, his impetus, which led to his presidency, was John Quincy Adams. The policy was, we have a Canadian border, we have a Mexican border, we have an Atlantic Ocean, we have a Pacific Ocean. These are our borders. This is our nation. We have to develop this territory for this nation in this territory. And our destiny, implicitly with him, but for us, is our destiny is across the Pacific. As the Columbus crossed the Atlantic, we must cross the Pacific to liberate the people on the other side of the Pacific Ocean, in the sense of engaging them as our partners against the European oligarchy. That was the policy. So that's Lincoln's policy.
The British oligarchy knew that Lincoln represented this mission to destroy them. That is why, upon his election, they had to stop him from being inaugurated.
Now, when the carriage itself that was supposed to be carrying Lincoln passed through Baltimore, there was an enormous riot planned that was supposed to go off, trigger a certain amount of chaos, and there were planted assassins in the crowd who were going to stab Lincoln to death. Of course, when the stagecoach rolled through, the riot began, but Lincoln was not in the stage. Lincoln was already in Washington, D.C.
I hold that in contemplation of universal law and of the Constitution, the union of these states is perpetual. Perpetuity is implied, if not expressed, in the fundamental law of all national governments. It is safe to assert
that no government proper ever had a provision in its organic law for its own termination. Descending from these general principles, we find the proposition that in legal contemplation, the union is perpetual, confirmed by the history of the union itself. The union is much older than the Constitution. It was formed, in fact, by the Articles of Association in 1774. It was matured and continued by the Declaration of Independence in 1776. It was further matured, and the faith of all the then 13 states expressly plighted and engaged that it should be perpetual by the Articles of Confederation in 1778. And finally, in 1787, one of the declared objects for ordaining and establishing the Constitution was to form a more perfect union. But if destruction of the union by one or by part only of the states be lawfully possible, the union is less perfect than before the Constitution, having lost the vital element of perpetuity. It follows from these views that no state upon its own mere motion can lawfully get out of the union, that resolves and ordinances to that effect are legally void, and that acts of violence within any state or states against the authority of the United States are insurrectionary or revolutionary according to circumstances.
1 month after Lincoln.
All right. So I wanted to make sure that I can clarify that. That was really great. He is saying that our country was created as one union from the Atlantic to the Pacific to the Canadian border to the Mexican border. This is our country. And that's what it was even before the Constitution. And it was this is what it was. And it always has been. And you do not have the right to leave this union. And so then he also said, I hope you heard this part where Lyndon LaRouche was the man who was talking. He is the older man. He's the one who created this video and that has since passed. And like I said, I looked for his video, his YouTube channel, and I think it's been disbanded because I'm afraid that the people who don't agree took it over. I hate that if that's the case, because that's generally what happens is always whenever something is good, then infiltrators come in and take it over. All right. But anyway, I wanted you to see that he was saying that this is our destiny to not only have this American form of government where we're all men are created equal, but that we would also bring that to all of the world. Now, you and I thought that when we were children in school, we thought that when we were fighting these wars, we were doing it to help the people to be free. And that's what we were told. We were sold a bill of goods. Now we realize that they lied to us and they were using these things as their way to gain power and wealth. But at least that was what we were thinking we were doing. That's what our motivation was. We don't have this warmongering spirit in America. We don't want to just go have a war just to die and to kill other people. We wanted it to be where we were helping to save humanity. And that's really, truly our destiny. All right, so let's keep going.
Its inauguration, the sudden rebellion began. The Confederate Army received huge support from Palmerston's British Empire throughout the war. However, Lincoln defeated the Confederacy by reviving the superior moral principle and industrial might of the nation. Even amidst civil war, Lincoln advanced the unity of the United States, as with his launching of a transcontinental rail project and encouragement of settlement by immigrants of lands west of the Mississippi. 2 days after the surrender of the Confederacy in April of 1865, Lincoln spoke on his policy for bringing the South back into the Union as if they had never left. Only 3 days after that, Lincoln was assassinated. The trigger man, John Wilkes Booth, was no lone gunman. Booth had been recruited to the assassination plot years earlier through a nest of Palmerston agents in British Canada, such as George Sanders, a paid operative of the British Empire's Hudson Bay Company, and John Surratt, a regular agent of the London-based Confederate Secret Service. The federal government itself identified this, convicting 8 people and hanging 4 on the charge of conspiring with these and other agents harbored in British Canada. However, these principal British agents, such as Surratt and Sanders, although wanted by the federal government, fled to safety in Great Britain. The Lincoln murder was a desperate British reaction to the defeat of their century-long strategy for dissolution of the United States. But instead of the United States dissolving into chaos, Lincoln's ideas became more powerful through his death. Because of Lincoln, the transcontinental unity of the nation would be achieved a few short years later. but also the living power of the U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence emerged over empire as a power in the world. In the eyes of foreign nations, the young United States, previously only a daring experiment in law and government, now had validated its principles. Through individuals like Henry C. Carey, who had been Lincoln's economic advisor, the United States underwent the most rapid industrialization and economic growth of a country that humanity had ever seen. This development was driven by economic policies explicitly against British free trade, such as the highest tariffs in the history of the U.S. These tariffs banished the British Empire's cheap slave labor goods from American markets, allowing manufacturing, infrastructure building, and population growth to steam ahead.
Who does that sound like? Who does that sound like? Just like our wonderful president, and that's why they're trying to stop him from using all these tariffs. They can't, you know, they haven't been able to stop him yet, and I don't believe they will be able to. But anyway, that's exactly what Lincoln, the people who he was working with, of course, at this point he had died, but this is how America just took off like a rocket ship because of these tariffs. And so even though they killed Lincoln, he lived on in these policies. And it also is notable that he brought everyone together, whereas they were wanting everyone to stay separate and be angry with each other. But he immediately brought everyone back together and also made it where they could, you know, have land and have businesses and have where they would actually have the benefit for their business, not selling their hard-earned crops where they had worked so hard and just selling them on pennies on the dollar. They would actually be able to grow their business and excel. That is what the vision was, that everyone would work and they would benefit from their labor. Hello. So this is what really propelled America into being this powerhouse. And eventually you're going to hear how Churchill's like, okay, we realize that you know, we're going to need America because America had become so wealthy and powerful at that point. Anyway, that was like 100 years down the road. But anyway, still, I wanted you to see, not quite that many, but anyway, I wanted you to see that. And also the other thing I want to mention is that, did you notice how he built the Continental Railroad? Now, and I think they're going to talk about this in a minute, that in the other countries, when you would have the British do it, they would have it where they had the rail system where it was on different gauges, and that you could this train couldn't connect with that side of, you know, the east side couldn't connect with the west side. It was only to benefit the globalist imperialists, the elite, not to benefit the people in that country. And so when Lincoln built the railway, it was all where it was for the people, that they would all be able to have this the rail system where it would benefit the Americans and not for the benefit of the globalists. Isn't this cool? I just think this video is amazing, and I'm sorry that Lyndon LaRouche is not here to see this day, because he would love President Trump and how President Trump is working so hard on these tariffs and getting us free, really, from these very same ones that he's talking about in this video. All right, more to come.
British free trade, industrial monopoly, and human slavery travel together. And the man who undertakes the work of reconstruction without having first satisfied himself that such is certainly the fact will find that he has been building on shifting sands and must fail to produce an edifice that will be permanent. Look where you may, you will find prosperity to exist in the inverse ratio of the connection with Britain.
As Carey wrote, everywhere where British free trade was implemented, it destroyed people, it destroyed food supply, it destroyed resources, it destroyed soil, it destroyed what civilization might have existed. You bring in British free trade, what's left? Destruction.
Protecting the development of your population, your core capabilities, agriculture, industry, and so on, that's protectionism. So when you look at this, no country has ever developed without protection. None. Not any country in Europe, not anywhere.
On May 10th, 1869, the last spike in the transcontinental line was driven. For the first time, the historic mission of the U.S. project was met. A nation unified through manufacturers and infrastructure from east to west, north to south.
Think about this. This is after a 4-year-long civil war, tearing apart the United States, half a million human beings killed, an equivalent number, huge amounts wounded, maimed for life. You'd think that the nation would have been crippled for a long time to come after this, as the British intended. This nation came out of the Civil War with a type of unity and a type of economic development that the world had never seen. We became a world's leading power economically within 10 years, 15 years of the Civil War.
In 1876, Henry Carey organized the U.S. Centennial Celebration, inviting the world to see how Republican principles had transformed the youngest nation on Earth into the most prosperous. 9 million visitors attended, including official foreign delegations composed of scientists, engineers, economists, and industrialists. What these observers saw was the opening of an incredibly vast new field of human potential, such as had never existed in the world before that point. Amidst the awesome array of drill presses, saws, printers, water pumps, and more, sat Henry Carey's literature stand of books and pamphlets, educating visitors on the virtues of the American system of economics. The American system of economics values the creative powers of the human individual far above any other form of material wealth. Further, it recognizes these creative powers as the very source of that material wealth. While the British Empire fights for control of the so-called natural resources of the environment, the American system's power comes simply by the recognition that the nature of the human species was to be the one living creature on the planet which had no natural resources outside of its members' own sovereign ability to create them.
All creation is a mine, and every man a miner. In the beginning, the mine was unopened, and the miner stood naked and knowledgeless upon it. Fishes, birds, beasts, and creeping things are not miners, but feeders and lodgers merely. Beavers build houses, but they build them in no wise differently, or better now, than they did 5,000 years ago. Man is not the only animal who labors, but he is the only one who improves his workmanship. This improvement he effects by discoveries and inventions.
That's the entire experience of the human.
Okay, I think that was terrific. I want you to see that because we believe God's word that all men are created equal, that they are made in the image of God, and that they have, what does that mean? That we have the ability to create, the ability to think, you know, and it talks about that, you know, a beaver is basically the same kind of beaver that from thousands of years ago. They just have their instincts. They really don't think. And so we have the ability to improve our situation. That's why they've tried to make it where everyone's on SNAP benefits, where we don't have the ability to get the financing to start, you know, to fulfill our dream. Of, you know, many of us have had dreams about doing one thing or another, but they've made it so difficult to do with the regulations or the inability to get financing and all that. So that is what was what Lincoln promoted, and then that moves us on farther down to what Roosevelt did, the same thing. And of course, this is what President Trump is saying also. He wants to open everything up so people can have the freedom to do this. We're not going to have, and I didn't mention this in the Golden Age book. If you're not familiar, I just released my new book, The Golden Age, and it's talking about all the wonderful things that are going to happen in the Golden Age, and a big part of that is the knowledge and the abundance and all the wonderful things that will happen. But, you know, we're not going to be under these tech giants. We're not going to be under the boot of the monopolies. That's not going to happen anymore. So anyway, this one is really, really good. He's got a lot of great things to say too. I just wanted to play the whole thing. It's all so good.
Of a person, of mankind, as you're directly related to ideas. Because of that, you become the only interface for ideas to manifest themselves in physical reality. To make a discovery of principle, a discovery of something that exists that's true in the universe, and then to force the physical universe to respond to that invisible principle, to respond to that idea.
The human economy exists within a universe organized by this dynamic ability of man to willfully change nature.
For the human species, you have to ask yourself, what's required for that spread, that texture, that growth of humanity into these areas? What's required? There are certain things you need as predicates. You need do you need water, you need food, yes, some similar things to plant and animal life. But for the human species, you need the ability to creatively introduce those things yourself, such as, for instance, irrigation. A human species, if you want to introduce human life into a desert, we don't wait for water to appear in the desert. We irrigate the desert.
The source of that is in the individual, lies in the individual human mind, as opposed to, you know, a collective process or something. What it requires is that you have individuals in your society who have been educated up to the level where they're able to contribute something of their own.
A discovery we make in nature usually involves something that's already happening. But we make a discovery of how that's happening. Now we turn that discovery we've made into a way of changing nature by our acting in use of that principle. So mankind is not like an animal. We have a power of the animals. This is what we call true creativity. The ability to discover universal principles and use these to change the universe. Only mankind can do that. Only the human individual mind can do that. No animal can do it.
To create something entirely unique and new, something original in the entire course of what's been discovered so far in the course of humanity, that capacity exists in every single human individual. And the idea that every single individual has that potential is lovely and exciting to us.
In opposition to the American system, the British Empire treats the power of human insight as a threat to its power. With empire, there is no divine spark of human reason which profoundly transforms nature. With empire, man is only a different form of cattle. Thus, the oligarch system must cease to exist, for it works against the laws of nature and the human mind.
You can contrast the North and the South in the United States. The lack of the utter lack of industrial development, and then the just backwardness, living in the swamps, state of existence that you had in the South of the United States was a direct product of their view of man. It was a direct product of the fact that a slave society is incapable of this kind of, the kind of feudal society you had in the South is incapable of creative discovery.
In the wake of the Centennial Convention, teams of American military engineers, economists, and diplomats carry the American system of economics back over the Atlantic and the Pacific, consciously seeking the end to the British Empire system of world domination. In Russia, American railroad engineers worked with Russian Transportation Minister Count Sergei Vita, Dmitry Mendeleev, and others to organize a system of high tariffs and construction of the Trans-Siberian Rail Project, modeled on Lincoln's American Transcontinental. The very first locomotive on this Trans-Siberian was built in Philadelphia by the Baldwin Company. By 1890, the Russians were planning a Bering Strait bridge to connect by rail to America. In France, heavy tariffs were instituted.
Did you see that? Did you see that? A Bering Strait railroad? Now, they're not talking about a railroad this time. They're talking about a tunnel, because they didn't have the technology to build a tunnel. But here we are, finally, all these years later, talking about doing the very same thing. And so this is what the imperialists, the globalists, couldn't abide. They could not have us working together and for humanity to be able to lift each other. That's the righteous, is that we all want everyone to be free and everyone to excel and everyone to produce, everyone to have a great life. And that's what they can't handle that. we're not allowing that. And it's because these people have gotten evil power. And if you remember, our Lord Jesus was told by Satan, he says, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world. Of course, our Lord Jesus said no, but these people said yes. And so they said, they've been getting this power to do all this for all this time. And now I just think this is so cool how the same things that were happening in America were being shared so it would benefit the people all over the world. That's the American spirit, that we are in it for everyone, not to push anybody down. I just love it. And here, this is finally going to be realized. How cool is that? And you saw immediately that Ukraine, Zelensky, didn't like the idea. They don't like that at all. They want all the trade to be for themselves. They want to have all the control of each of the ports and each of the railroads. Yeah, they want to control the everything. I don't want to give you a list. Just say everything.
By rail to America. In France, heavy tariffs were instituted along with an expansion of rail. French Foreign Minister Gabriel Hanateau developed plans for the development of the Nile River area of Africa and for a rail link to the Russian Trans-Siberian project. In Japan, E. Pishine Smith, a close collaborator of Henry Carey, traveled to Japan's Meiji court to shape the rapid transformation of the country into a modern industrial power. The Japanese became a leading American ally in Asia, creating the first ever independent national bank on that continent. In China, where the British had unloaded crates of opium, American Civil War engineers unloaded crates of Baldwin locomotives. Carey ally Horton Barker worked with the Chinese emperor's circles for the creation of a joint Chinese-American bank to fund telegraph lines, rail, and industrial mining. And in Germany, the American system reached its greatest application anywhere outside the United States through the actions of Chancellor Otto von Bismarck, who had been an ally of the American system from the days of his youth.
Bismarck himself had been a close friend of some of the American students who had been explicitly sent over by John Quincy Adams to study at Göttingen, at Jena, at Berlin, to basically study universal history as it was taught by Schiller and by the von Humboldts.
3 years after the American centennial, Bismarck broke Germany's free trade system, implementing an American-inspired tariff policy for Germany. The kinship between Germany and the U.S. became so strong at this time that Republican congressman and Civil War veteran William McKinley quoted Bismarck's speech for a German tariff from the floor of the U.S. Congress.
The success of the United States in material development is the most illustrious of modern time. The American nation has not only successfully borne and suppressed the most gigantic and expensive war of all history, but immediately afterward disbanded its army, found employment for all its soldiers and marines, paid off most of its debt, given labor and homes to all the unemployed of Europe as fast as they could arrive within its territory, and still by a system of taxation so indirect as not to be perceived, much less felt. Because it is my deliberate judgment that the prosperity of America is mainly due to its system of protective laws, I urge that Germany has now reached that point where it is necessary to imitate the tariff system of the United States.
Under this policy, just as had occurred in the United States, Germany emerged as a national power on the world stage. Bismarck's circles, in collusion with French industrialists, began planning rail links to the Trans-Siberian system of Russia and the construction of a Berlin to Baghdad rail system to create a new, previously non-existent trade route to all corners of the world.
Okay, I think this is the beginning of the next segment. So I just wanted to, we better stop because I don't want this video to be too long. I just mainly wanted you to, we're going to get that first section, and then I think we'll probably do two more sections on this, two more videos on this, because I don't want to go too fast. I want you to be able to really soak this in. So you see how Bismarck was doing the same thing in Germany, is doing the rail system, the free, truly free trade, not the imperialist one. And of course, you're going to find out on the next video that they're not happy with Bismarck at all. And they're going to teach Germany a lesson or two because of them being bullies, right, against the imperialists and the royals. And so you're gonna flip out when you see, and what are they gonna do? Start war. So that's what's next, because they basically couldn't win by the ideas, so they threw all the toys out and started a war. That's what they ended up doing. Anyway, I hope you guys really enjoyed that. I think it's really helpful to see, you know, what President Trump is doing. That is really goes back to the same thing that we've been trying to do for all these years, but this the time we'll finally be successful and realizing that what the Bible says is true, that we'll have to cast these people out. We cannot have these evil imperialists anymore. They have to be gone, and they know that. They know that their day is over. It's the end times. Let me show you real quick. This is the end times for them, and 1,000 years of peace for us. It's the end of it. End times is not about end for us. It's the end for them. And they realize they've tried everything in the world to stop us, and they cannot. It's very, very good news. Okay, let's pray this before we go. Thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful people who put all this together so that we could understand it, because we were told so many wrong things in school and in history. And as you say in your word, we've been looking here and there, running to and fro to try to find truth and can't even find it. So thank you for these people who put this together to help us to find the truth about what really happened, and also about our wonderful future. Thank you for how so many great patriots are putting out so much truth so that we can now find truth. This is the day we're finally, the light of truth is dawning on us, and it'll be just getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Thank you for the battalion. I pray you just continue to bless them as they continue to study and to work hard.